Hey, everybody, it's Kai Rizdahl with another episode of the Corner Office Podcast, featuring a familiar voice to those of you who are regular listeners to Marketplace on Fridays and our weekly wrap, Lee Gallagher, editor-at-large at Fortune Magazine. She had a piece not too long ago in the magazine about something going on in Silicon Valley, a trend, really, the rise of the female COO, chief operating officer. And whether that means tech has more female CEOs in its future, COOs being generally a ladder to that literal corner office, or perhaps is there a catch? Here's our conversation, me and Lee Gallagher, for this episode of The Corner Office.
We're expecting you. Won't you have a seat?
Ready to go to work?
Lee, it's good to talk to you.
Kai, great to be here. Thank you.
It's weird, though, not on a Friday, right? I mean, you know.
I know. I can't, like, get my arms around it.
Do me a favor, would you, and help us all understand what exactly a COO does, would you?
Well, it's funny. That's precisely kind of the hard thing. The COO stands for Chief Operating Officer, and it's an interesting role. It is it's sort of a shapeshifter because it really varies company to company, industry to industry, and even CEO to CEO. Hmm. The most defining thing about it is the executive's relationship with the CEO and how that partnership is going to work. But it's effectively, you know, second banana. It's number two.
Right.
And in old sort of Fortune 500 arena, it's sort of used as a stepping stone to the CEO role. It's almost used as a succession tool itself. Executives are often put in that role with the understanding that they'll take the top role. But what I really looked at was the way the role has evolved and is evolving in the tech world,
right,
which is a very different beast because you have all these startups and it's a different thing altogether.
Right. So let's talk about that a little bit. You talk specifically about high growth technology companies in Silicon Valley in which you have found now and are talking about in this piece. There's a disproportionately high number of female chief operating officers.
Yes, that's true. And I started to notice this a few years ago where it just seemed sort of anecdotally that there were a lot of women being named to this role. And I just sort of started keeping a list. And it just about a year ago, it seemed to pick up even more. And I just felt this is like a thing. I mean, and I felt like this really it begged exploration because, you know, statistically, there are more male COOs at these companies than women. But as you say, proportionally, it's a trend. And so what does this mean? You know, does this mean either that, wow, this role is like pretty much the next best thing to the top role? So does this mean that we're going to have a huge and robust pipeline of female CEO candidates who are ready to take the top job? Or is it going to be one of these sort of perennial number two situations? Because male or female, the COO role is not always a sure fit for the CEO.
Well, let me actually get back to, it's not the origin myth, certainly, but in Silicon Valley and for the purposes of this piece, Sheryl Sandberg at Facebook is sort of the ground zero, right?
Yes, she was ground zero, patient zero in this whole trend. And one of the reasons why we see so many female COOs is because everyone wants, quote unquote, a Sheryl. I have a source in the story who says people think they can get a Sheryl as if it's just as simple as ordering one on Amazon. I mean, like it's a thing. And that's true. And look, I mean, Sheryl Sandberg was brought into Facebook when Facebook didn't have a business model, didn't know how it was going to make money, was not making money. Within 3 years, it had just totally professionalized, monetized, and she brought in her experience from McKinsey, from Washington, her influential network, and just really professionalized the company. And it has been, you know, granted, they're in the foxhole dealing with its biggest crisis to date now, as we know, but she is sort of the magic of that partnership has really been something that many credit as for the company's success.
Okay, so let me break it down from there and ask you two related questions. One is there something about high-growth technology companies that lends themselves to COOs who are women of high ability? And also, what is it about these women? Because there is certainly a type of woman that you profile in this piece who has the character attributes that make these companies sing.
Yeah, those are two really good questions. So the first is, what is it about tech? Well, there's one thing in particular, and it is young male founders. We're in this era, this huge startup boom. and we're seeing this phenomenon of these, you know, young male geniuses. We will have more females one day, but it's mostly male. Young Mark Zuckerberg being the classic example, a coder, you know, founded this company and really didn't know what he was doing in terms of never having run a business before. And so what's shifted is that the VCs who used to bring in sort of what was called adult supervision in the form of a seasoned executive to kind of come in and take over as CEO, witness Eric Schmidt at Google or Meg Whitman at eBay, that's not happening anymore because there's so much competition to be able to fund these companies that being founder friendly has become an important principle for the VCs to have. So the founders are staying. And that requires the need for a really strong number two. And so why women? Well, a couple things. I mean, I think there's a lot of really, really high caliber women out there who have spent their whole careers in tech or just working their way up, and there haven't been these top jobs. There's a lot of seasoned talent out there. I think that's one thing. Number two, you know, this gets into a little bit of a stereotypical, you know, you want to be careful about saying these things. But I think, you know, we know that the way men and women lead are different.
Yeah.
But men's and women's brains are different. They work differently. Women over-index on humility and other things. They're very good consensus builders, very good at EQ, very good at multitasking. And these are all the things that are required to be a really good number two. Women, you know, it's less about the title for them. It's about every single COO I interviewed, I said, do you want to be a CEO? And none of them said outright, I mean, a few of them did, but they just, it's more about the meaning of the work. So they're comfortable in that spot.
But Sheryl Sandberg could, not to make it all about her, but she could have any job basically in any company she wanted. And yet here she is still at Facebook 10 years later.
Yes, and I think that's really important. I mean, she could. She is the most high-profile COO in the world, male or female. She has elevated the role, which has made these jobs more appealing for these women who have taken them, and men. And she could do anything. She could run for president. I mean, what other COO is rumored to be a presidential candidate? But, you know, she has said that she's staying at Facebook. And there could be a number of reasons for that. I mean, she, you know, this company is still very influential and important. I think she's really, you know, really values the work she does there. She's been able to build her brand for women's empowerment while there and do all these other things. And, you know, we don't know what she'll do next. I mean, that could be a whole parlor game. It is. But for now, she seems pretty set there. And I think there's a bunch of reasons for that. And not every COO wants to be a CEO for a variety of reasons.
Do you think that this current crop, as it were, of female COOs in Silicon Valley means in, I don't know, 10 years? Because some of these women are young, right? I mean, do you suppose it means in 10 years we're going to see a bunch of female CEOs at these companies?
Well, that's the big question, and that is what we're waiting to see. And I think it's going to be shorter than 10 years. I think, I mean, one of the sources in the story said, we'll know in 2 to 5 years. These women are going to be ready to be poached for these top CEO jobs, whether it's, you know, at their existing companies or, more likely, at a different company. And that could be in tech. Right. It could be in another company, because every company is trying to be a tech company now. So we'll know. And the only question is, will the boards, the recruiters, the hirers, you know, have the faith that these women can, in fact, run a company themselves? Because one of the big differences between COO and CEO is that the CEO is setting the vision, making the decisions of where the company is going, making the strategy decisions. And the COO is usually executing. It's very rarely a COO will be able to influence strategy. A few of them that I interviewed do. But that is the big difference. And a board needs to be very confident that the incoming CEO can take the reins and lead this company into the future.
Well, look, then you got to get the boards out of the bro culture thing, right? I mean, that's the deal with Silicon Valley.
Right. Well, that's another reason why this is happening. Having a woman COO lets you say, we are diversifying our C-suite, everyone.
Yeah.
And they are. Listen, this is a very senior role. I don't mean to downplay the significance of having all these women in this tippy-top role. It's important because then they bring in more women in other roles. I think everybody knows that we need more women CEOs. So here's a whole bunch of pre-qualified, really competent ones right there ready for it.
Lee Gallagher, editor-at-large at Fortune Magazine, writing about COOs in Silicon Valley who just happen to be women. Lee, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Kai.
That's it for today's Corner Office Podcast. Thanks for listening. If you want to hear an interview I did with a former Silicon Valley COO who then became that company's number one, go back into our feed and check out my conversation with Stacey Brown Philpott. She is a TaskRabbit. And if you like this podcast or this episode, well, we hope you'll think about leaving us a rating on Apple Podcasts, or better yet, leave a review and tell us what you think. Also, tell your friends, by the way. The Corner Office Podcast is produced by Bridget Bonder. Marketplace is produced by Nancy Fargali. Sitar Nieves is the Executive Director of On Demand. Deborah Clark is the Senior Vice President and General Manager. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Another episode for you in a couple of weeks.